All right, well, let me give you the scripture, then I'll get right into the word. They said they need prayer. They've been jamming today, so they bless me. They bless me. Thank you so much. So let me read the scripture, and then we'll get right into the word. The scripture is from Philippians 4, 8, and this is what we've been focusing on this particular month. And thank God for all the speakers, and Trey, amazing job. And we're going to hear from another one of our speakers later on today. So Philippians 4 and 8, it says this: "Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right, pure and lovely and admirable." He says, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, praiseworthy. He goes on and says, keep putting into practice all you've learned. This is Paul talking to his followers and saying here, and receive from me everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. In other words, I am an example as well. And he says, then the peace of God will be with you. Pray with me as we just continue the subject of maintaining our focus and fixing our focus as we pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for these young people. Thank you, God, for their heart for you, even at a young age. Thank you, God. I pray that we'll get to see them grow up and then show them these videos of this day, because you wrote it in your book in heaven. So we give you praise. We give you glory. And it's for this we say amen. Why don't you go and give him a real good praise? He's a good God. He is a good God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So when I see our kids, and it just blesses me when you talk about focus, and the young people are talking about them being focused at a young age, I thought I would open up with one person that we're very, very familiar with, especially young people, Steph Curry. You know, one of the best shooters of all times, you know, arguably, and his accuracy is amazing, no doubt about it. But I think that we can shoot better than Steph Curry. Listen, don't shout me down. If we blindfold him, and if we turn him around before he shoots. And some of you say, well, yeah, Pastor, of course. How can he hit a target he can't see? But I got a better question. How can we hit a target we don't even have? Too many people in the world are moving through life without a target, without a focus, not knowing where they're going. You ask them, well, I don't know, we'll see. No, no. God says you need to keep your focus on him, because when we keep our focus on him, it makes all the difference in the world. Can I get a witness in this house? It's amazing what we can do when we put our focus on God. Every year, my mother would make my dad have the conversation with us, and I call it the back-to-school talk. Have any of you kids had the back-to-school talk this year? No, be real. Stick your hand in there. No, y'all don't do the back-to-school talk? Okay, I got a couple hands up. Because my dad would be religious about the back. Well, what is it? Some say, well, what is the back-to-school talk? Well, let me let you know. He would say, boy, you going to school, you're going to be there on time. And when that bell rings, you better be in that seat. And don't talk back to the teachers either. You better respect them. Then he'd go on and say, if you knew more than that teacher, you'd be the teacher and not her. This is the back to school talk. I have it every year. And then he says, and don't sit in the back with all the kids and get in trouble. Because if that teacher calls me, boy, and I have to leave work, I'm going to tear you up. He's getting my focus right for school. Then he'd go on, this is the last one that I remember, he would say, and you better not bring home no D's and F's. Now check this out. So D's and F's, not bringing D's and F's would be my target. Well, guess what? I got C's and sometimes B's. I just didn't want to get D's and F's because that was my target. Well, when I got to be, in high school, and I wanted a car, I knew my dad wasn't going to buy a car because my dad is super, what's the word? Frugal, yeah. Yeah, he knows how to, he just does. You know, some say I got it from him, but I don't think so. But if you work with me, you probably would think so. But the truth be known is, I was approaching my 16th birthday, and I told him I wanted a car. He says, "Well, son, you know you're not getting it. I'm not buying it. You can have one, but I'm not buying it. You're gonna work a job." He said, "If I buy you one, son, I gotta buy all the other 8 kids, you know, cars." So he said, "You're gonna work." And I started trying to figure out my money, how I'm gonna get money to get a car. And then he goes on and says, "Well, oh, by the way, insurance is high." And he says, "But if you get a B, the insurance man says that you'll be able, or B or better, average, he says that you'll be able to reduce the insurance by about 35%. And my daddy said, "If you do that, I'll go on and I'll get you insurance." And I was thinking like, car insurance and me driving to school. And I thought to myself, well, guess what? I'm going to get a B. Guess what my average was? A B. I was a B. And then I went on further. I'm just telling you what focus will do. What would happen if your kids would get locked and tight? If their focus is absolutely sharp. You know, and then they go on, and I was getting ready to sign up for my sophomore, or actually junior year, and I could opt for some different classes, and they said, "Well, you know, you need to, if you want to do or study electronics, because that's what my choice was. I like, you know, NAND gates, NOR gates, the JK flip-flops. I like Ohm's law and Watt's law and looking into transistors. That stuff excited me, and I told them I wanted to do that." And they said, "Well, you can't go into that." He says, "Reason is you didn't take enough math." And I said, "Well, what do you need?" I don't know what it is about us that I'm thinking general math. All I wanted to do is get my credits and get out of high school. I wasn't the one that loved school. Some of y'all said, "Well, you shouldn't be up talking. I'm just letting you know, some people like me." All y'all didn't love school either. Y'all don't be playing. But. It's amazing that he said, "Well, you're going to need to do algebra, and then not only algebra, you're going to need to do geometry." Well, guess what? Studied algebra, man, smashed it. Studied geometry, smashed it. Studied algebra and calculus, smashed it. Why? Because I had a desire and a target. I wanted to do something. What would happen if we released the potential that are in our kids? Y'all don't hear me today. I'm moving on, but wow. When I think about our youth, and I've been working on a succession plan for probably the last 3 years, and it's been pretty, you know, tedious, if you will, working. How does this work? We want to make sure we maintain our focus, make sure that the next generation understands what's important, that they don't get off track, because we want them to be solid, because their being solid in their faith is tremendously important. So I began to talk about what that looks like, and God spoke to me of late, and he let me know. He says, "Tell the youth that they are our succession plan." When we develop our children, we develop our successors. Let me say it again. If there's a young person around you, just say, "You are my succession plan." Oh, yeah, you can't take it with you? Let's invest in these children. Let's deposit in them. Let's encourage them. Let's build them up. When they become whatever, doctor, lawyer, whatever they become, I don't want to stop at that. They can become a pastor. They're the ones going to lay hands on me. They're the ones going to come see me, visit me. Are you with me today? They're the ones going to bless you, so let's make that deposit. Youth Sunday should be our biggest Sunday of the month. Why? Because we're making a deposit. God made a deposit in us, and we want to make deposits in them. Somebody give God praise and glory in this house. Thank you, Lord. And when we look at many failures, they can be traced back to loss of focus. You know, and we as Abundant Faith don't want that to be said about us. You know, we want them to know why we exist. Abundant faith still exists to exalt the Lord, to evangelize the world, to educate the body, to equip believers, to empower the community. We are established to reach the world through, help me out, through faith, hope, and love. And without a doubt, that's a pure and intrinsic, you know, beginning, and thank God for our humble beginning. And even though we were small and just beginning, we had big vision. And when I think of 28 years ago, and folks, we'll be celebrating next week, we'll be celebrating Abundance Faith's 29th year in ministry. And I give God praise. I give God glory. Thank you, Lord. But 20 plus years ago, we didn't have payroll. We didn't have everybody work free. We didn't have staff. We didn't have facilities. We didn't have no lights, no spotlights, no camera, no action. We didn't have multiple locations, no Haven House, no apartments, no men's house, no overcomers. We didn't have 50 acres and a mule. Our vision was big again, but, you know, we had a focus on God. And when I think about that, it causes me to recognize we want to even now embrace what's most important in life. After 28 years, we still don't want to lose focus. Someone said, I don't want to lose focus. Because when I stand before him, you know, I want him to be pleased because I did what he called me to do, not because we did a lot of stuff. Are you with me today? And that means we got to maintain our focus. And sometimes God will ask you questions to challenge you, to make you think about where you are. He asked Adam, where are you? And it's amazing, Adam's response. I like that passage in the book of Genesis, 3rd chapter, 8th verse, and the Bible says that they heard a sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why would you want to hide from the presence of God? In amongst the trees in the garden. And then the Lord called to Adam, and he says to him, where are you? And it's interesting, Adam's reply, because some would say, why would God ask where Adam was? Can I let you know that God knew where he was? It wasn't because he didn't know. He was in the garden. Come on. He knows everything. He sees all. But he said it to invoke thought in Adam because he wanted Adam to recognize that he was slipping. Where's your relationship? And Adam says, his reply was this. He said that, you know, I heard your voice in the garden, God, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And then he goes on and says, I like this because when I think about this, it makes me recognize even right now, God is still asking that question. You know, where are you? I want to know where your heart is. Are we still in relationship? Are you still my boy? You know what I'm saying? You know, am I still the apple of your eye? Do you still trust me wholeheartedly? You know, why would you? In fact, he goes and asks another question. Who told you were naked anyway? Ask him, have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? Did you do that, boy? Then he says, instead of answering the question, he said, the woman that you gave me. That's not what I asked you, G. He said, I ask you, have you eaten of the tree? And then the man looked at the woman and said, it's the woman. And then God, listen at this. I want y'all to get this. Then God asked the woman, what have you done? And listen what she says. It blows me away. I want you to lock into this. She says, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. She said one more time. She said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Listen at this for one moment. The Satan deceived us in the garden, us as mankind. Satan is still deceiving folks. He's the master of deception. He'll say, look at all that I have for you. Look at this. Look at that. I can make you this. I can make you great. I want to let you know, folks, today that nothing Satan promises you can ever satisfy you. Nothing that Satan ever says, you can come here, this amount of money, this house, this career, it won't satisfy you. It's deception. And we need to tell our children that at a young age. Don't wait till they get grown and say, well, I should have told you. No, tell them now. If you don't focus on the things of God, you're going to get off track. You've got to keep your focus. Thank you, God. Y'all still with me, right? The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Man, the enemy is offering our children all kinds of stuff today. You can be popular. If you do this, you want to be the popular girl or the popular guy. You need to have this outfit or this look. You need to have this amount of money or this name brand, this designer name brand. And it's all deception. It's all deception. If you're running after this with all your heart, you'll end up missing on what's most important. After serving God more than 40 plus years, I won't talk too much about my age, but 40 plus years, the best decision I ever made was to follow God wholeheartedly. The best decision I ever made was to say yes to God. Yes, totally and completely. God, I want you. Totally you. Can I get a witness in this house? If you know what I'm talking about, make some noise in this house. Hallelujah. I don't regret one dime. I don't regret one moment. One time I lifted my hands and said, Lord, I thank you. One prayer. I don't regret any of it. Why? If it hadn't been for God on my side, where would I be? Y'all gonna make me holler in this house, but he's been good to me, and I want the world to know it's the best decision you could ever make. Give him another praise in this place. But can I let you know that I don't want to lose focus, especially in this latter time of my life. I don't want to lose focus. And I believe that God is asking us because he asked me, and that's my first point. Where are you? He asked me even recently, and they'll probably put it on the screen, but he asked me even at this stage of my life, you know, where are you, Jerry Wayne? And it's a good thing when he asks you, because when he asks you, that means you're on his mind. And he cares about you. And when he asked where I was, I had to really do some thinking because I had a lot going on. And that's not, you know, abnormal. You know, I spend most of my life trying to get rid of stuff that weighs me down. I do. Why? Because things come, and if you're not careful, you get... This day will be full, and then people will start calling. Well, can I get on the calendar? Can I get on the calendar? Can we do this? And all of it's good. It's not bad. It's good. But it becomes a bunch. Is anybody in the house? Yeah. He asked me the question, where are you? I began to look and think to myself and about where I was and where I was in the beginning versus where I am now. And I came to this passage in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, 38th verse. And it said, now it happened as they went that he entered, talking about Jesus, entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, and who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. When I think of this passage, I think of our beginning. How locked we are with God. We want to be in your presence. We want to be at your feet. It's a place of worship. If you see this, I'm into you, God. My attention is not everywhere else. I'm not looking at, you know, who sees me, how many likes I got, how many followers I got. I'm not on that. My focus is on you, God. And my focus is so tight that I'm actually sitting at your feet, locked into you. I'm not looking around. I don't care who's trying to get in my ear over here. I'm looking at you. I'm at your feet, God, because you've got my attention, and I'm into you, and you are the apple of my eye. And you're looking back at me because that's what relationship is about. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I remember those times of prayer, those times of fasting, those times of laying everything else aside, and those times of just getting in God's presence and saying, God, I don't care about anything else. All I want is you. Has anybody ever been in that place? The Bible tells me that her sister, who was a good lady, she loved the Lord and had things going on. She had her own house. She was perhaps a business person. She was definitely one that knew how to handle things because she had her own house. So the Bible said that her sister, because Martha, her sister, welcomed Jesus into, the Bible says, her house. Somebody say her house. So she may have been balling. Yeah, she, and I don't know how big it was, but she had her own house. And she asked Jesus, because she was, the scripture says in the 40th verse, she was distracted with much serving because she had invited a guest who was Jesus to her house, and she was busy serving, and she was distracted because of her serving. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister, with her lazy self, no, I put that in there. My sister has left me to serve alone. I'm all by myself. I'm working. Now, understand, I'm not knocking Martha, because I am more of a Martha than I am a Mary. Any Marthas in the house? Y'all be real in the house? Y'all got to be busy? I'm getting to see, I'm tightening this up. Occasionally the Mary comes out, but most of the time it's a Martha attitude. And I ain't mad at Martha, because I can relate. Somebody got to do it. Everybody can't sit down at the feet all the time, can they? Somebody got to cook the food. Somebody got to put the table, the placemat on the table. Somebody got to have the fine china. Somebody got to do it. Everybody can't hang around and do nothing. So the sister says, don't you care that I'm serving alone? She says, therefore, and she's telling Jesus this, therefore, tell her to get up off her lazy do nothing and help me. She says, tell her to help me. And Jesus' answer blows me away. And first of all, I'm not sure if you recognize it, but Martha was complaining too. She's got Jesus at her house and food to serve, but all you're doing is complaining about somebody, what somebody else ain't doing. Man, somebody right now, God has been so good to you, you still complaining. Jesus is at your door, in your house, and you worried about the color of the carpet. Jesus is in your house, and you worried about there being a little dirt somewhere. He said, oh man, and Jesus is like, chill out, You ever been over to somebody's house and they spend all the time trying to get stuff perfect for you? And you're like, I'm not studying that. Right. I don't even know if studying is a word. I know I'm from the country. I'm not concerned about that. Yeah. So he says this. And Jesus answered Martha and said, Martha, Martha, you can put your name in there. You are worried and troubled about many things. And can I give you my next point? If you are distracted and stressed and worried and troubled by many things, perhaps you need to refocus. See, you're worried about too much. You're distressed and stressing yourself, and you know you're troubled about this and that, and if this is going on in your life, perhaps you need to refocus. Is there anybody in the house today that you really, if you be honest about it, you got too much going on? You're stressed about running kids here and running them over here and trying to get to this thing and trying to get to that thing. I'm trying to do it all and trying to go back to school and trying to get this going and try to. And then I can sit down. I ain't got time to pray. It's just. And then we get to sleep. You can't even sleep because you're so worked up. Am I preaching okay? What would it look like to refocus? What would it look like to refocus? And just to let you know that it wasn't only Mary and Martha, but the psalmist says in Psalms 73, he said, my foot had almost slipped. I too was almost slipping. I was going back. I was not going forward. And look why he said his foot had almost slipped. He said, my foot had almost slipped because I was looking at the proud. He says, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They were wicked, but they still prospered. How many of us need to stop looking at everybody else? He said, they seemed to live such painless lives. Their bodies were healthy and strong. They didn't have troubles like other people. Isn't it interesting how people can make it seem like they don't have a problem in the world, but rather they're actually trying to make it, taking pills to get up, pills to go to sleep. Am I preaching okay? It says, and this is what it looks like on the outside. That's why I tell you, don't you believe the Hollywood lie. Let me say it one more time. Don't believe the Hollywood lie. Don't believe the Facebook lie. Somebody say, I love Jerry Wayne. I'm just letting you know, because some of that stuff you see, it's not the truth. Or it's just one snip of something that they smile. And they smile and say, hey, we're on vacation. We can't look ugly. Let's smile and let people know we're looking good. So come on, let's smile for 1 minute. How do I know I've been there? I ain't wasting my money. We're going to smile or something. But I'm mad right now. Oh, yeah. It says, they don't have troubles like other people. And he's looking at someone else. They don't have problems like everyone else. They wear their pride like jeweled necklaces, clothe themselves with cruelty. And then I love this, as NLT it says, these fat cats have everything in their hearts that hearts could ever wish for. Can I let you know that we need to stop focusing on what we don't have and be thankful for what God has given us? Come on, let's bless him real big. Back in the day, they used to sing the song, we may not have this or that, but they said, now the part I remember is, but be thankful what you have. You may not have a diamond in the back, sunroof top, and digging the scene with the gangster lean, woo woo. But be thankful. Somebody take a moment and think about something God has done and give him your praise right now. We bless you, Lord. We give you glory. We honor you, Father. Yes, we do. We honor you, Father. The other thing we need to do is stop comparing. The psalmist got off because he was comparing. You know, Martha, she was focusing on what Mary wasn't doing instead of focusing on what she should. Yeah, she was what she was doing. She was all focus because we're looking at how many times do we look at other people and we made it so convenient for other people to be in our head. If you've got notifications on all your devices, you open the door for other people to be in your head whenever they want to be. Am I preaching under what? I shut stuff down. They said, Pastor, you wasn't on it anyway. Not much. And then even when it came to the news thing, news used to be on the front of my phone, used to be one of the apps on the front of my phone, like, you know, open up, you got a home screen. I took everything that was distracting on the home screen, put it way back. So I haven't looked at the news on my phone in about 2 weeks. This has been a blessing. I've been so much happier. I put the Bible apps on there and devotion apps on the front, because If your news is on the front page, guess what? You're just going to absolutely hit it. You're going to say, well, what's happening in the news? Hit that. No, I put it in the back. And guess what? I ain't missed nothing. All right. I haven't missed a thing. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah. So let me end on this. And at least get ready. If you've forgotten that true peace and contentment comes from the presence of the Lord, perhaps you need to help me out. perhaps you need to refocus. Because true peace and true commitment doesn't come from Amazon. Amazon's coming to the front door to say, wonder what's in the box. You didn't order it so much you don't even know what's coming. Oh, I forgot I ordered this. And I would say something, but my wife is not here today and she's probably watching. But sometimes I thought I was in the Amazon business. But again, if you have forgotten that true peace and contentment come from the presence of the Lord, then we need to refocus. We as a church, we can't have peace and true peace and contentment in our hearts if we don't recognize it all comes from God's presence. It all comes from God's presence.